Praise the Lord. I'm going to say because the presence of God is here that those who are not here are missing out this morning. And I'm going to tell you, as I sit here, it's all I can do just to sit here. I get amazed that we can go to football games, we can go to places and do things, you know, that are fun, and we get all excited and we hoop and holler. We come to church, and is there any excitement in anybody this morning about God? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you receive by the Spirit, just like I have to, we all have to, if you receive by the Spirit what the Word says, leave your previous notions, leave your intellect behind, and receive by the Spirit. How many know the natural man does not receive the things of God? The Bible says he can't. If you'll leave all that behind and you'll hear with your spiritual ears today, you'll get some insight and you'll get set free and you'll get happy. I had a conversation with somebody and we talked about the fact that, you know, it seems like everything that happens is based on what the world says. It's not based on what God says, it's based on what the world says. And I remember an old song that says, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. When we speak from where we're at in our physical and mental faculties, we're speaking carnality and incarnality. You want to change where you are. You want to change what's going on in your life. You want the blessings of God to prevail. You want the blessings of God to overflow in your life. Then you've got to change your confession. Amen? I mean, I've said many times, y'all know, and I use the name Gertrude and Heathcliff or Harriet and whatever anyway. Well, it's flu season. I'll be the first one to get it. And then they're stunned when they get it. People, faith, looks at things and speaks the Word of God, which causes things which are not to be so. Amen? That's what faith does. But you can't be stunned and you can't look, you know, funny at God and say, God, I don't understand what's going on, when you speak opposite what He says about you. Amen? I know there's a big hoopla here years ago about the name it and claim it group and people who would say you can have what you say. Well, the Bible says that. And that's absolutely the truth. That's what the Bible says. Read Mark 11. If you believe, you'll have whatsoever you say. Amen? Ha ha. Now, if that doesn't ignite your exciter, I don't know what will. What's that? Exactly. Well, that's what we ought to be operating on. See, we make that statement, Harry, and yet we want to, you know, I asked this question this morning of Harry, and I said it to somebody else. God asked us, how long are you going to stand between two opinions? In other words, I'm going to say it like this. How long are you going to stand between intellect and spirit? If God's God, serve God. If Baal's God or the intellect is right, then serve that. I said to Donnie yesterday, I said, if we're still under the old, which brings condemnation, the old law, which brings condemnation, then let's close the doors. Because condemnation brings fear because it always has the mental capacity to think, I'm going to get nailed. I'm going to get in trouble. I'll know I've done wrong. Amen? That's why it's called the Old Covenant. Amen? We're under a new and better covenant. Amen? Hallelujah. The law's there to show sinners that they're sinners and to show them if you don't change, you will suffer the consequences, which is what happens. Our prisons are full of people who are suffering the consequences of their actions. Look at this young guy who pulled this stunt this past Monday, going out, ramming cars at will, stealing, kidnapping a baby and taking cars, and just, you know, pulling people out and throwing them on the ground, hit a state trooper. And then one of his silly friends goes up, well, everybody deserves forgiveness, as he's wearing a hoodie going into the courtroom. Now, what does that tell you? Anyway, you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? That's why they're there because they did it their way. I have my rights. You got all the rights in the world in Jesus, with God. But all the rights you think you have are going to take you a place you don't want to go if you don't do it by the Spirit of God and the will of God. The will of God is for you to be blessed, for you to be prosperous, for you to be healthy. Prosperous. See, everybody, the minute you say prosperous, somebody thinks about $1 million. And that's not the only way you're prosperous. You're prosperous because the Spirit of God dwells in you. You're prosperous because the Word works in your life. You're prosperous because when you speak the Word of God and you pray the Word of God, it comes to pass exactly what you said and what you prayed. Amen? So you pray according to the Word and according to the will of God. The will of God is the Word of God, and the Word of God is the will of God. I don't know what it's going to take for that to finally sink into some folks, but that's the way it is. You want to know God's will? Read His Word. You want to know what God's will is? Read His Word. No, that's right. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we lift up this time together, Lord. Once again, we declare that You are the author and finisher of our faith. We declare that this is Your time and we are Your people. And so, Lord, now we proclaim with our hearts, with joy and thanksgiving, Lord, that we have open minds, receptive hearts to receive from You, not through intellect, not through carnality or through flesh, but through the Spirit, Lord. This morning, what You have. And Lord, before we even do that, we want to give to You praise and honor and glory. We want to worship You this morning in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth, Lord, we want to worship You this morning. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. Praise God. He showed you that He really did hear your prayer. It'd be better if the accident didn't happen. But because the accident happened, God got glory and got your attention, didn't He? All things work together for good to those who love God and called according to His purpose, according to Romans 8:28. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someday maybe God will give you a glimpse of what's really in my heart for you guys. And maybe with that, give you a glimpse of what He really feels about you. We need to be reminded constantly, folks, of how much God loves us. Constantly. The thoughts that He has for us are thoughts for good and not for evil. They're thoughts to prosper us. They're thoughts of no harm to us. And to give us a hope and a future. Amen? Wow. Those words right there should have been the spark that ignited your exciter this morning. Amen? Father, we just surrender to Your will. Holy Spirit, You take control. You do what God wants done today and bring it into fruition in this house today, in our lives and in this house. Thank You, Lord, corporately and individually, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we rejoice this morning to be in Your house before You, to worship You. We ask that Your Holy Spirit be poured out upon this place today. We ask You to fill each and every one of us to overflowing so that we can receive what You have for us today, Heavenly Father. Because everything in Your Word, we could never possibly learn that. And that's only the surface of the ocean. And when we get to heaven, Heavenly Father, it'll take an eternity to learn even more about You, Father. Yeah. And that's what we're so much looking forward to. But while we're here on this earth, we want to build Your kingdom. And we want to draw others into here. We want them to know that they are healed. That You love their soul and their spirit, and that you want us to be obedient to You so that You can pour Your blessings out upon us, Heavenly Father.
Amen.
We ask You to multiply this offering today so that we can continue to do this work for You while we're here on this earth.
Yes.
In Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we want to be all we can be and do all we can do for You. Amen? Y'all hear that? Praise God. Father, in Jesus' name, now we just give honor to Your Word, Lord. We thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are the revelator, You are the teacher. You bring insight, You bring instruction, and You bring direction to our lives, Lord. You reveal truth. And Lord, we give You praise for that. This morning, I ask You, hide me behind the cross. I want Jesus exalted here today. No one else. No one else is worthy, Lord. Lord, I want insight and understanding to fill this place today. Spiritual insight and understanding. Lord, I pray that everything that's our thoughts and our experiences would be set aside. And Lord, that you would fill our spirit with truth today and our hearts with your truth, in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, order my steps. I yield to you. Use me as your oracle, Lord. For that I praise you and thank you and give you glory forever. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. One of the things that I've heard several times recently is the fact that, you know, the church is even filled with people who are full of addictions and bondages. Bondages. Because of religious thinking, because of experience, and because of wrong believing. That's why these addictions and bondages come, because of wrong believing. And if we start believing the right way, the way God intended, and we start believing and trusting Him and listening to the Word, not just reading it on the page, but hearing as the Spirit ministers through the Word to us, we will see changes in our lives that will radically revolutionize in God our lives. How many are up for that? I want to become a radical revolutionary for God. How about you? That's a pretty good thought. I like that. Radical revolutionary for God. One of the areas that is so detrimental to the church, and by detrimental I mean that it stifles the church, it stifles believers, is the fact that they're caught between two opinions or two facets of time in the Word, if you will. I don't know if that's a good way to say it. And that's one caught up in the old covenant, the old law, man's law. Let me make this statement. In case you're not aware, the law, or the Ten Commandments, was given by God to be the moral compass because the Holy Spirit had not yet been given. And in that time frame, that's why the priest had to once a year go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle blood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You're all on the same page with me. But as we look at that, what we understand by the Word of God and the work that Jesus did, and it was a work, by coming to earth, yielding His life as an atonement for our sin, shedding His blood, He totally justified us, He totally cleansed us, and He totally did away with sin. Now, how did they know, when I say a moral compass in the Old Testament, what are we talking about? Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. That's what they had. The Holy Spirit was there, but there was no infilling of the Holy Spirit at that time. Very few cases is where the Spirit light upon somebody or fill them. They were motivated. We read several accounts of where the Spirit of God moved on somebody, but they were not filled with the Spirit. And so for them to keep the straight and narrow, they had to have a compass or a parameter, which was the law. But in that law, even today, if we walk in that law or we trust in that law, it's still a good moral compass for unbelievers. But it's also old covenant, which has been, the old covenant has been done away. Not the law, the old covenant. Are you with me so far? Today we have a new and a better covenant. One of the points that was made in the conversation yesterday was the fact, you still don't. There he is. Bring your bad self in here. But you still don't kill. Why? That shouldn't even be an issue for us. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit, which interacts with the Word of God, which is now our moral compass. Those things that used to affect me don't affect me anymore. Does that mean I'm not human, or the temptation's not there sometimes? Or, you know, the enemy sticks his head up or tries to bring a thought or something happen and all of a sudden, you know, something may come out of your mouth that you're not happy with? Yeah, okay. But that desire to willfully do something wrong, or the fear that something's going to happen because you did something wrong, shouldn't be there any longer. The law brings fear of repercussions. The old law, man's law. Man's law is not God's law. How can it be? It's man's law. If God's perfect and man is not, without God, then how can the law make you perfect or make you whole? Are y'all with me so far? You need to ask yourself that question as we talk this morning. The old law, or the old covenant, speaks to flesh and carnality. Because you didn't have the Spirit. They didn't have the Spirit of God. We're going to do a lot of reading this morning. If you want to just write them down, please feel free to do that. But I want to start out in Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 4 through 9. Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 4 through 9. Here's what it says. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Or by grace you have been saved." Amen? This is the New King James. It's not the Amplified. Verse 6 says, "And raised us up together." Raised who? You and I. Us. Together. "And made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." That means we're not sitting in the muck and the mire anymore. We're in the world, but we are not of the world. Amen? Don't all shout me down. Verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It's not of what you did, it's what Jesus did. "It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast." I'm going to read verse 10 too. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We just read that it's for by grace you're saved through faith, not obedience to the law. When Jesus came into your life, your old nature, your old person, your old being died, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Says you're a new creation. Old things passed away. Passed away. What does that mean? It means it's dead. "Behold, all things have become new." Now, what does that mean? That means that what drove you and what was in control in your life was not the Spirit of God, but your flesh. And that was motivated by the one who was your father prior to your being recreated spiritually. Are you with me? Am I losing anybody? Okay. The Bible says, "Except you come as a little child, you won't inherit the kingdom of God." What does that mean? That means you have to believe just based on the merits of who said it. As a child, man, whatever came out of my mom and dad's mouth, I believed. I accepted it. I'm going to know what I'm talking about. And if you have children, same thing. They trusted you. And that's a design by God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The law condemns, but the Spirit gives life and freedom. The Bible says no man is justified by the law. You can't make yourself right or wrong by the law. You can violate the law and suffer the consequences. But you see, when you're worried about the law all the time, what happens is you're worried about what's going to happen. I've done wrong, so you expect, because that's the way it is. And that's the way we've been programmed. When you violate the law, you expect repercussions. But you have to also understand, in the Old Covenant, it was pre-salvation, so you didn't understand, and you didn't have the power. You weren't changed. You were still walking in carnality and flesh. And so physical things had to be done for an atonement for your sin. Amen? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, if you will. Galatians chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 11 through 14. And what it's going to talk about in there is that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God. And that's evident. Because what? The just live by what? The just live by what? By faith. Amen? The just. If you're a lawbreaker, you're not just, are you? What happened at that moment where 2 Corinthians 5:17 became effective in your life is the fact that your old nature was arrested and covered under that blood. That means everything you ever did wrong, past, present, and future, was completely exonerated and done away with, never to be resurrected anymore. And yet, if we live under the law, we resurrect those things every day. I'm worthless. I'm a sinner. No! Because you were a sinner, you needed a Savior. Are you with me? Here's what it says, verses 11 through 14. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. In other words, it's very evident that you can be not justified by the law. For the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith. It's right there in black and white. I didn't say this. This is not my words. Yet the law is not of faith. But the man who does them shall live by them. Somewhere I heard one time, I don't remember if it's in the Word or just off an old movie, but if you're going to live by the law, you're going to die by the law. Oh. Oh. Come on now. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's why it's a curse. It's because it's always hanging over your head. There's always fear. I'm going to violate something and get in trouble. Drive down the road. This was one of the examples that was brought up. Drive down the road and all of a sudden, you know, something happens. You maybe are just a hair late on the light and you think, oh man, I should have stopped, and you didn't. Down on the corner, and I can't remember what the intersection is, but it's on Hampton, right there by the River Point Shopping Center. There are traffic cameras there. And I see those things go off all the time. Now, there are some people who we see blatantly violate that. Well, we already know where they're at. They're under the law. And the law will give out its consequences. But as a spiritual man, your conscience, which is part of the moral compass in the Old Testament, was your conscience. But now your conscience is renewed. And now your conscience is guided by the Spirit of God, or should be, if you've really surrendered to the Lord. Are you with me? Okay? Let's go on. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. He became a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Are you seeing that? Are you with me? For what reason? that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? The Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Meaning they've been born again. They're now subject to the Spirit of God and the perfect law of liberty, which only is in Jesus and in serving God and the Word of God. That we might receive, what's the reason? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Through following the law? What does it say there? It says, promise of the Spirit through faith, not the law. Hallelujah. No one is justified by the law in the sight of God. And that's very evident. The just shall live by faith, not by the law. James 1:23 through 25. James 1:23 through 25. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Listen carefully. Verse 25. Here's the key. But he who looks into, not the law, the perfect law of liberty, not man's law, the perfect law of liberty. Where does that come from? From God. And continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verses 2 through 9. This talks about the law of the Spirit of life. Romans chapter 8, verses 2 through 9. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, listen carefully, it's right there, has made me free from the law of sin and death, man's law. It's not man that's your judge anymore, it's God that's your judge. He always was your judge, but before you knew Jesus, man was the judge you had to fear. How many of you fear God? I mean, you're afraid of Him. You're afraid of Him? When we talk about the fear of God, Brian, we're talking about reverence and respect. Not fear like I'm afraid if I don't do right, God will mess me up.
No, I'm just, I
want to cross. Amen. Well, but see, that's because of the change in your heart. I understand that. Son, you ain't seen nothing yet, but you never will. Psalms 91 says, only with your eye will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Amen? Hallelujah. It's a good place to shout. Anyway, let's go on. Romans chapter 8, verses 2 through 9. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has done what? Made me free from the law of sin and death. Listen carefully. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. He didn't condemn you. Go back and read John 3:17. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Another scripture says that He didn't come to judge the world, but to save the world. Amen? The old law is judge, jury, and hangman. You violate it, boom. In many cases, instant, like we saw Monday. That guy who just, I don't think he was thinking. I think he lost his mind. He definitely was imitating his father, the devil. It could have been drugs, because he certainly had a blank expression on his face in every picture I've ever seen. He needs the Lord. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. Didn't condemn us, He condemned sin. That the righteous, listen carefully, that the righteous requirement of the law. Remember, the law was there as the moral compass for that day so that you didn't violate other people's rights. Amen? And you didn't violate, you know, God's law. But here it says, verse 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. In other words, whatever laws we broke is now fulfilled. It's been taken care of. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The flesh has a propensity. The Adamic nature has a propensity to run to things that are not good. Things that are spiritually detrimental, maybe physically detrimental to our lives. Amen? Y'all believe that? Y'all, you agree with that? Who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh, listen carefully, set their minds on the things of the flesh. The law. You set your mind on the things of the law. Well, I don't want to violate that because I'm going to get in trouble. I said, I don't know if it was last Sunday or when, but I said, it's like the little cartoon character that says, if I do it, I don't need a whipping, but I do it anyway. Of course, that's the old nature. That's not the new nature. Amen? But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, listen carefully, folks, to be carnally minded, what does that mean? Fleshly minded. Carnality is flesh. It's sensual. Do I need to clarify that for anybody? It's sensual. It operates by five physical senses, not by spirit. There's no spiritual discernment necessary in walking in carnality. Amen. Touch, taste, smell, see, hear. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Your eyes will deceive you. Your emotions will deceive you if they're not checked and if they're not in control of the Spirit of God. Amen? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace. How much peace do you have when you're always looking over your shoulder? Did I mess up? Am I going to get nailed? If you know to do good and you don't do it, the Bible says then it's sin, or then it's disobedience to God. The other thing we need to recognize is when things were said. Now, here's where you have to hear by the Spirit. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, contains the New Covenant. And the New Covenant explains the Old Covenant. You've got to get that down. You've got to let the Spirit of God minister that to you and reveal that, what He's really saying there, what's really being said there. If I read 7 before, forgive me, I'm going to be redundant. Because the carnal mind is enmity, it's an enemy against God, for it is subject to the law of God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. It didn't say subject to the law of man, it said subject to the law of God. What is that law? The perfect law of liberty. Perfect law of liberty. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. The things of the Spirit take precedence in a believer who's born again. Well, you have to be born again to be a believer. Amen? rocket science. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. That makes perfect sense. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, then you can't be his. Turn back to chapter 3. God has translated us from the kingdom of darkness spiritually. How many can identify with that? Have you been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son? How do you know that? Not in fear anymore? Amen? You feel liberty? You feel like you're really alive for maybe the first time in your life when you got born again? Amen. Harry, I apologize to you. I did not forget about you. I apologize. You'll get a chance. You'll get a chance. I'm sorry. I just got so excited. Anyway. Verse 19 of chapter 3 of Romans says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." Are you guilty before God this morning, or are you free? Are you redeemed? Are you at liberty? Or are you still a captive? "Therefore, by the deeds of the law," listen carefully, "no flesh will be justified." The law cannot justify you just because you follow it. The law is always going to be there as a condemner. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you getting it? The law is a condemner. It condemns your actions. I mean, dear Lord, if you go into the legal ring, you know, there's things like premeditation, collusion, coercion. I mean, you know, those are things that condemn. Is there anyone here this morning that feels condemned by that anymore? Why? Because you're walking in the perfect law of liberty. You're walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Amen? That doesn't mean we're not still growing and learning. How many really understand and know this is a lifetime process? The same way that you went from the infant stage when you were born, learned and grew, are you not still learning and growing today? It's the same thing in the Spirit. You're still learning and growing, and you will until God calls you home, till you draw your last breath. I pray for everybody here that we'll never see our last breath. We'll just be translated like some of the people in the Old Testament. Ah, amen. Hallelujah. Man, you got it. You got it, Brian. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight." In whose sight? In God's sight. That's capital H when it says His. "For by the law is the knowledge of sin." The law was there to give you the knowledge of your disobedience and the fact that you were a lawbreaker. Amen? "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law," the righteousness of God apart from the law, "is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now that's pre-Jesus and pre-your receiving Him, believing in Him, and accepting Him as your Savior and Lord. "For all have sinned," in verse 23, Romans 3:23, "for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Past tense. Have sinned. Verse 24, "being justified freely by" what?
What are we justified by? His grace. Through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ.
You know what? I don't know if I'm going to go ahead and read on. Just continue from verse 24 and read to verse 31. I think it's the last verse in the chapter. There's tremendous insight to be gleaned here on the subject we're talking about. Verse 25 talks about God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith, whom God has set forth, meaning of Jesus, to demonstrate His righteousness and forbearance. He passed over the sins that were previously committed. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't want to drag this on, and I don't want to bore you guys. But if you look at this, if you really take these scriptures down and look at them, I think you'll find the next scripture. I'm just gonna give you the highlight of what's being said there. That's Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 15, and then 16 through 25. It's the entire chapter. We're not going to take time to read it. But basically it says that no one is justified by the law. We've talked about that this morning already. Ephesians 5, 1 through 21, the crux of it is we are justified by faith, not by the law. Faith and the blood. It talks about faith and the blood. That's where you're justified, is by faith and by the blood of Jesus. Not by the law. In other words, when we were under the law, we were always afraid of violating that law. But now we're under grace, but we're also under the Spirit. The Spirit of God's in us. And so we don't have that fear of violating the law anymore. We have an understanding, and we have in us the desire as a small child not to displease our Father. Amen? But we also now have the understanding that it was interesting. Donna brought up yesterday, if I don't know what my husband wants, then I can't please him. But it's not hidden in the Word what God wants from us, what Jesus wanted, what Jesus, did, or what He sees. And the expectation is we're His bride. Amen? So we've got to mind the things and the understanding of being a bride. And once again, I'll just throw this in for free. Gentlemen, you'll never be a good husband until you learn to be a good bride. Y'all understand that, or is that over your head? Until you learn to be a good bride to Jesus, you'll never be a good husband. And not only that, guys, you're not a husband because you say so. You become a husband when she says so. Amen. Moving right along. Romans 5, 1 through 21, we're justified by faith and not the law. Faith in the blood. That verse 9 is the key verse there. Romans 7, 8 says, apart from the law, sin was dead. Apart from the law, sin was dead. In other words, there was no condemnation. Without the law, there's no condemnation. Amen? What does the Bible say? There is therefore now no condemnation for what? For who? For those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Praise God. Galatians 2:16, man is not justified by the law, but by faith. It's just repeating. It's just redundant. But it's the truth. And when God repeats something, it's because He's trying to get our attention and have us understand, amen, who and what we are. Romans chapter 6, 1 through 23. The crux of the whole scripture is Jesus died to sin once for all. When He died, sin didn't have an effect on Him anymore. Our sin didn't have an effect on Him anymore. He left it there in Hades, where He went back and took what the devil took from Adam and Eve, which was the keys of life and death and hell in the grave. Amen? And He made a mockery of Him. took his power, made him a big mouth with no bite. Hallelujah. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The law brings bondage. Chapter 3, verse 24 says the law was our tutor. In other words, it was what showed us that we needed the Lord. It's what taught us that we were doing wrong, that we did wrong in our lives, that we had a propensity to do wrong. Listen, just because your flesh, and I'm reminded of the scripture that says, you know, who will deliver me from this body of death? That's talking about the flesh. The flesh is what we struggle with all the time, amen? It's not the things of God, unless we don't have an understanding. But it's the flesh. And that's what was crucified daily. It needs to be crucified daily. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But the life that I live, I now live by what? The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And again I say, whoever servants you yield yourselves to be servants of, those are the one. That's the one you will obey. If you're going to obey the law, then you're a servant of the law. If you're going to obey God, you're a servant of God. Acts 12:39 says, no one is yet. Again, 13:39, Acts 13:39. Merriam-Webster says, in closing, its bondage is a state of being bound, usually by compulsion, or as of law or mastery. That's what bondage is. You're in bondage to it. You're a slave to it, to the law. When you know the Lord, if God's changed your heart, then the law's not an issue because you don't even think. Well, let me give you an example. I'll just flat tell you. You know, men are wired a certain way, just like women are wired a certain way. And men or women, either one, it's not unusual to have a thought, wow, that person is very attractive. But if that's as far as it goes, you've not sinned. Okay? I mean, if we weren't attracted to one another, then how would we ever get married? We wouldn't have kids, right? But the issue of lust never enters into it. One of the comments yesterday was, the Bible says the very thought of lust towards a woman or a man is sin. But we take captive our thoughts, amen? How do we do that? By the Spirit of God. For me, that's not an issue anymore. Do you understand? It's not an issue. God looks at the heart. Man looks on the exterior. Amen? We can't see what's in each other's heart. We can know what the fruit is in a person's life by how they live, but you don't know what's in their heart. But I'll tell you this much, that you will have an idea of what's real in a person's heart by the actions based on the way they live and what comes out of their mouth. Amen? But we still don't know the heart. God is the only one who knows the heart. And finally, and I'm just going to give you the crux of Romans chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. Again, it's talking about who you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are. Well, that's only four verses, so I think I will read that. Romans chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. And we'll close with that. Listen carefully. Here's what he says. He says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. The caption in the New King James says in verse 15, from slaves of sin to slaves of God. And that's a willful servitude. Amen? We placed ourselves there, didn't we? What then shall we say? Because we are not under the law, but under grace. What then, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Folks, the Spirit of God deals with these things. You know, I mean, you know, one of the things that they said, you know, but you know, just because we have liberty doesn't, you know, we don't use our liberty as an ability or an excuse to sin. If you're God's, your desire to sin or to do wrong should have been long gone out the window. Are they things that overtake us once in a while? Yes. But you're not a sinner anymore. You're no longer a sinner. You are a redeemed, blood-bought, born-again child of God. And in spirit, the way God sees you through the blood, you are perfect in His eyes. Now, you and I will never meet the standards of perfection towards each other in our lives. Never will. Amen. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, that one slaves whom you obey. You are that one slaves, excuse me. Whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked through you, though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. See, there's a change in your heart. You're not trying to live up to the law anymore. You're trying to live up to this God's standards to not displease Him. Amen? Hallelujah. I'd ask you today, whose servants are you? Do you want to live under the law? But you want to live under the law of liberty of Christ, in Christ Jesus. Perfect law of liberty in Christ Jesus. As we think about that, we ought to be thinking about the fact and understand we're free. We're not slaves anymore of sin. We're not under that law anymore. We're under the law of liberty. One of the things we need to remember, one of the things that's important that we understand is that in the original language, in the original word, there is no punctuation and there is no chapters and verses. Thoughts are separated in the word because of chapters and verses. And sometimes it's one continual thought. And one of my best examples that I can give you is when you look at Hebrews chapter 5, I believe it's verses 12 through 14, and then Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through about 10. And you'll find that it's all one thought. And the reason I said that is to say this. One of the things you also have to understand is that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not part of the New Covenant. Bill, what did you just say? I said Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not part of the New Covenant. They are the prelude to the New Covenant. The New Covenant began in the book of Acts. Because that's when the Spirit of God was given to all flesh. If they served God when they received the Lord. So be aware of what you're reading when you're reading it. Be aware. Think about that. What am I reading? Am I reading pre-Adamic or post-Adamic? Pre-Jesus or post-Jesus? And by pre-Jesus, I don't mean before Jesus was. I mean before He became the Savior of the world. He was always destined to come and be the Savior, but He wasn't the Savior until He died on that cross. Amen? Hallelujah. Have I totally confused you, or did you get something out of this? Do you feel like there's freedom? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we just again thank You. We seal Your word in the hearts. Please, You seal by the Holy Spirit the word in the people's hearts. Man's word fall to the ground. Lord, forgive my stammering lips, stuttering tongue. I thank you for your presence, and I thank you for using me, Lord. Now I want to ask, are all hearts clear? Are all hearts clear this morning? Do we need to pray about anything? Father, in Jesus' name, you heard what Brian requested. We're in agreement with that, Lord. We want what's been wrong, the wrongs to be righted, and for justice and righteousness to prevail in Jesus' name. And we leave that in your hands, how that's carried out, Lord. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.
Father, thank you in Jesus' name for this day. Father, right now I ask that you would go with your people. May the very God of peace shine his countenance on each one. Thank you, Lord, that they're blessed, coming, going. They're blessed in all that they do. And, Lord, we thank you again for this opportunity. Now, Lord, we sanctify the food, we sanctify the fellowship, and we speak blessing on each person as they go for this week. In Jesus' name, amen.